I mean, token. Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Craig.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Andrew. What's happening? Anything
Good
good?
morning to the potholes here in Buffalo. I think everybody can attest to that.
Morning to the potholes.
Yep, good morning to the potholes.
They're everywhere. I
Man,
listen.
can we just put some proper asphalt down or whatever? Like, come on, man. There's like landmines all over the place in this city. Just awful.
I was driving downtown the other day, and oh my, it's just like I'm 11 years sober, and I swear any police officer could have pulled me over for impaired driving with the way how many potholes I had to swerve around. Like I'm
Yeah.
just left and right. It's unbelievable. Anyway, a few housekeeping items we
Okay.
got to take care of first. Speaking of potholes, we are getting still absolutely killed for our Devon Levi. Connor Hellebuyck takes Matt Savoy's gone to Rochester, and Kyle Dubas got fired. No, not rehired or not renewed. So we can figure that one out. What's going on in Toronto? But there's a lot going on. Eichel's going to the finals. Sam Reinhardt's going to the finals.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Montour's
I
going to
mean,
the
come on.
finals. Holy shit. But so back
Don't
up.
think we can go there yet. I don't think we can go
Connor
there yet.
Hellebuyck, Devon
Okay.
Levi. I had a 26-year-old woman stop me the other day and tell me how bad our takes were on.
I'm really curious about this because I want to hear what the conversation with this young lady, what it was all about, because I had the exact same conversation, actually yesterday on the golf course. Beautiful day, by the way. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Played, yep. And we were discussing the exact same thing. The conversation came up about Devon Levi and Connor Hellebuyck. Okay. And when you sit there, I want you to tell me a little bit more about your conversation with this
It
young
was
lady.
very short.
Okay. And her
This
thoughts
girl
are what?
stopped me and
What is
she
her
said,
thought?
I love the show. And I said, thank you.
But
She said, but I had to shut off after the whistle at least two, maybe three times the other day, take a breath and then turn it back on. She's like, you and Craig, she's like, have terrible takes about Levi, Hellebuyck, Savoy. I'm just kind of like, wait. What's the terrible take? She's like, you're going to trade Devon Levi for Connor Hellebuyck or Matt Savoy. And I said, yes. I said this team was 1 point out of a playoff spot. Those guys had literally nothing to do with it. I said, so I'm trying to insert some players that are already established stars in the league that are ready to take a team to the next level. And I said, sending those guys to Winnipeg would be a great spot. You know why? Because they're going to suck for the next 7 years, and we're never going to have to say what a regret it was.
I guess my stance on this, it's very simple. If you have the ability, when you look at the Buffalo Sabres moving forward, they've grown in so many ways that it's just to wrap your head around, it's very impressive. To have two first overall picks in Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, and they're nowhere near where they're going to be in a couple of years from now, like 5 years from now. They have not hit their ceiling at all. You have Matias Samuelsson, another young guy, 22, 23 years old. First year he played this year, he was a staple back on the back end. You look at all of the forwards that had such great years, and Thompson and Tuck and Skinner, and Cousins and Paterka are awesome, and Cousin, there's so much Mittelstadt, and the forward line is stacked, okay, with the Greenway and all these players, Peyton Krebs. And then you think about what we have in the pipeline. You have a Matt Savoy, you have an Austlin, you have a Kulich. You have a Rosen who's playing awesome in the playoffs right now for Rochester. Rosic down there playing very, very well. There's players on that team that are playing very well. Well, they can't all play in the NHL. They can't. So at what point in time, when you are an organization like the Sabres, you have to identify where there's glaring needs. And one glaring need is in goal. We have never in a very long time, you can talk about Robin Lehner, you can talk about Allmark and say that they're pretty darn good goaltenders, but at the time we weren't ready to compete. My feeling is we are ready to compete next year. Goaltender, an elite. Now, if I were to say this to every single person who listens to this show, is Connor Hellebuyck a top three goaltender in the world right now? And every single solitary person that listens to this show will have to agree. Okay? They will have to agree that Connor Hellebuyck is a top three goaltender in the world right now. Has been
He's nominated for the Vezina.
So here's my argument that I had on the golf course with my buddies. I said, I think that if you have the ability to trade Devin Levi for a Connor Hellebuyck, and you sign Connor Hellebuyck for, let's just say, a 7-year deal, you are going to be set in goal for 7 years. You are going to get elite goaltending. And my buddy, just like a lot of other people, Petey, are saying, why would you trade Devin Levi? He's going to be that guy. Well, you don't know if Devin Levi is even going to be a 100% number
even if,
one.
Even if Devin Levi is good next year as a rookie, do you know how long it's going to take him to realistically be ready to take a team to a second or third round of the playoffs? It's three, 4 years.
But you're saying if he gets to that point, why does everybody just think that he's going? There's so much talk about this kid being an elite kid. And
I think the reason why if comes up is or when comes up is because I think he's proven along the way that he has dominated at every level. And you got to give him credit. I mean, even this year in the NHL, I mean, what was his record? 4-1?
Edie, every goaltender that's playing right now in the NHL has dominated at every level. Do you get that? Like, I think you understand what I'm talking about here is every goaltender that is a number one goaltender in the league, they have dominated at every single level that they've ever played.
This is true.
So Devin Levi is no different. Devin Levi is a great goaltender. And you don't know where his game is going to go. You don't know if he's going to be. So there's every team pretty much has a number one. There's 32 of those guys in the world. And then there's 32 backups. And then there's a whole bunch of more goaltenders that are more than capable of playing in the NHL, but there's just no spots available. Do you know, right? Like right now, that Devin Levi is going to be in the 32. Is he going to be a number one goaltender in this league? I would tend to say in a very, very, very small sample size that yes, I think he's going to play as a number one in this league. The next question I have, where is he going to be out of the 32? Is he going to be a number one, but he's going to be in the bottom 10 in the league? Or is he going to be in the middle? Or is he going to be in the top 10? We don't know what he's going to be. Now, can we say, do you think he's going to be a top three goaltender in the NHL, in the world? I don't think we can say that either. But what I can say is Connor Hellebuyck is a top three goaltender in the world. You're going to get a top three. We're hoping that Devin Levi gets to a certain spot.
I just
why not go after a goaltender that you already know he's a top three goaltender? You don't have to hope and wait and let him develop and go through his ups and downs and this and that. You're already getting a top three goaltender in the world.
Don't you find it hard to believe that there would be an uproar if you traded a prospect goalie?
A prospect goalie.
Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, people are saying we're, well, they're saying, they've said a lot of things. But I sit here and I just think to myself, are you, the fuck is wrong with you? What is wrong with some of these people? Like, 5-2. I said his record was 4-1. He was 5-2. Like, there would be an uproar. People would be pissed if they traded for Connor Hellebuck and Devon Levi was in the deal. The UP, everyone's like, UPL should be in the deal. Do you think Winnipeg, who's going to rebuild their franchise, like probably like a Chicago did, is looking for fucking UPL? A bigger question mark, literally and figuratively, a bigger question mark than Devon Levi? Like, my train of thought is have the best player in that position that you can. And in the next 5 years, I do believe that Connor Hellebuck is going to outperform Devon Levi on any
fucking
team.
They're not even close.
Exactly.
They're not even fucking close.
Exactly.
What idiot is going to tell me that Devon Levi is going to outperform Connor Hellebuck in the next 5 years?
Connor Hellebuck would have to either be playing with injury. He's just that. He's been that good for a long time now.
Yes.
Connor Hellebuck has already been that good for a long time.
No question. No question about it. Like this is a.
I'm sorry to everybody out there for tossing Matt Savoy's name in there and making the trade bigger and Adam Lowry's name coming up, but
listen to me. You know what this is like? This is like an analogy of saying we don't want to trade Matt Savoy for Braden Point.
I bet people would be pissed off about that deal.
Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Are people upset if we could get Braden Point. Do you think people would be upset if we got Braden Point
for Matt Savoy?
Yeah.
I think the people that truly know the league would say that's a great deal. I would say that the
outs need Matt Savoy and 5 more first round draft picks to get Braden Point. Like, what the hell? I'm saying a very simple. What if you were to get Braden Point? He's a 40 plus goal scorer. He puts up 90 plus points a year. But we're saying, why would we need Braden Point? We've got Matt Savoy and he's going to do the same thing. No, he's not. We don't know what Matt Savoy is going to be. He's a project. We don't even know where he's going to fit in this lineup. What I'm saying, same thing goes to Devon Levi. Devon Levi is a rookie player, a goaltender at age 20, that just turned 21, who played 7 games in the NHL. 7. And we're talking about possibly trading him away for Connor Hellebuck, who is a top goaltender in the league.
Now, granted, Levi's name was not involved in the conversation in the article. It never came up. I'm defending the fact that I said I would consider trading Devon Levi in that trade. I just would.
If you're the Winnipeg Jets.
I think if you trade for Connor Hellebuck and you keep Devon Levi, I think in a way you're smothering Levi.
Which is exactly what Kevin Adams doesn't want to do and hasn't done in the past because he wants his young players to play. Right?
Right.
But? I would trade Devon Levi. I would literally fly him, drive him to Winnipeg to get Connor Hellebuck. But you have to understand how much is Connor Hellebuck worth? He's an unrestricted free agent after next season. So he's got 1 year. How many teams are going to pay the top dollar for Connor Hellebuck? How many teams in the league are looking for a number one goaltender like Connor Hellebuck? There's not many. There's not many that need that type of that goaltender. you know, you, if you just go down the whole league, Winnipeg or Vancouver.
I'm sure there are lots of, there are lots of teams that would rather
Tampa
have
Bay, Hellebuck Vegas, than the Islanders, Edmonton doesn't need him, Boston, Washington, Dallas doesn't need it, St. Louis, LA.
LA.
Got that the goaltender from Columbus.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of places in the league.
Well, this article says Buffalo, New Jersey. New Jersey's, yeah. I mean, if New Jersey is Connor Hellebuck, they're still playing hockey right now. I do believe that. The article also mentions Peyton Krebs and Casey Middlestad. Like, yeah, those are assets. And that was from Michael Russo at The Athletic. Yeah, those are assets that I absolutely would get.
And they're just speculation, right? They're just rumors. 99% of these rumors never come true. But, you know, you have Connor Hellebuyck tied to New Jersey and Buffalo because we and New Jersey both have very young goaltenders.
Yeah. One of the players mentioned in our conversation here, Matt Savoy, was just assigned to Rochester. Will he play? They're going into the conference finals. By the way, tip of the cap to them for a nice playoff run down there.
Yeah, they're
a little. I think a little unexpected by everybody down there, but that's kind of the way miracle runs go. We're watching one with the Florida Panthers right now.
Yeah. Matt Savoy, 19-year-old young man born on January 1st. Nice, great hockey birthday that is, eh? Holy jumping, awesome. Anyway, played for the Winnipeg Ice. Had a pretty damn good season, and I know if you remember this, we talked about this at, you know, at the start of the year. He was not struggling. He just started off a little slow. In 62 games, he had 38 goals, 95 points. A solid year. Solid year. Playoffs.
For a slow start, absolutely.
For a slow start. 38 goals for me.
Didn't make the World Junior team either, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, he had a slow start to his season in the WHL, but he ended strong, 95 points. Then in the playoffs, 19 playoff games, he had 11 goals and 29 points. Pretty darn good. Is he gonna play? I think they're bringing Matt Savoy to Rochester to ultimately be in the environment.
There you go.
Understand what it's all about. Practice with the team. Team goes off. Matt Savoy stays on with the likes of Michael Pekka and, you know, even Mike Weber. And those guys do a little extra work with Mr. Matt Savoy just to kind of get him acclimated to the environment. And I think
to pro hockey and the work of pro
hockey, just to be
and not only
that,
how about understanding what it's like to not play in pro hockey? This kid probably never sat out a game in his life unless it was for injury. So this kid's going to come here. He's going to be an extra skater. He's going to do the off-ice workouts. He's going to see the playoff environment. He's going to see the preparation of the players.
He's going to be in the meetings.
He's going to be in the meetings. He's going to be around the seriousness of the moment. You know, he's just coming off a pretty serious moment in the WHL finals.
That's right.
I mean, it's and then after, you know, and then after that, take a little break and you come back and you live in Buffalo for the summer.
Yeah.
But I think he ends up playing based on how the series goes. If they go down 2-0 to Hershey or something, I think if they can find a way to slide him into and to inject a little bit of youthful life into the lineup and some skill, I think they'll do that. But I don't think he's coming there to rip somebody's spot away that's been battling through the first two rounds of the playoffs.
Well, I mean, if it's not broken, you don't fix it, right?
Well, right. And one of the media members here in Buffalo, I I'm not going to say his name because I think he realized that what he said was a mistake, and I don't know exactly what he said, but something along the lines of if he doesn't play, it's an absolute travesty, or something, an embarrassment, or a mockery, or something along those lines. I think he has since deleted the tweet, and I'm not picking on this person. I'm just saying that you don't understand.
Well, I would be the first one to argue with that man. Or a woman, whoever sent a tweet out to say it would be a travesty to not have massive.
The word. I mean, but in my mind, I'm thinking that's what I'm talking about. Like, you're not bringing him here just to play and use his skill on the ice. You're bringing him here to absorb and observe.
Yes.
Observe and absorb. Maybe play, but playing is secondary in this particular instance.
Yep.
And that's part of developing.
I think there's no question that they would like to see this young man in. I think a lot of people would like to see this young man in. I know that Jari Kulic, who is the 28th overall first round pick by the Sabres last year, is thriving in his first year in the minors. Now you have a Matt Savoy that was ninth overall. You know, they're probably asking themselves, can this young man make us better? Okay. And if Seth Appert and Michael Pekka and Mike Weber feel that this young man can make their lineup stronger, he will be in the lineup. That being said, at this time of year, when you're looking to win a championship, you are looking to win, and you're going to play whoever you feel at this time of year. This is not about development. Kevin Adams, the GM of the Buffalo Sabres, is not going down and telling those guys what they should do with their lineup. I know this for, okay, I don't know it for a fact. I don't know it for a fact, but knowing Kevin, knowing the respect for Seth Appert and the coaches in Rochester, Kevin Adams is stepping back and he's observing. Okay. He's observing. He's watching and letting these men do what they have to do to try and win a championship. Kevin Adams is not telling these men to put in Matt Savoy. They will do whatever they feel is the right thing to do to win a championship. That is what this is all about.
Yeah. I've seen this lots of times. Players get called from junior to pro in the playoffs. And sometimes they play and sometimes they don't, you know. But yeah. It'll be a good experience for the kid.
I got called up from from the OHL. I remember I flew out to Fredericton, scared to bejesus, you know. I mean, went through a long playoff, long playoff series in the OHL, and then got the call up. I had to get on the flight. My body was exhausted. I was mentally exhausted. Matt Savoy is in the same situation. Lots going on throughout a very long season in the WHL with the travel and the emotions of the playoffs and the season and everything. And now they're out there. He's going to observe. He's going to skate. He's going to be around the environment. And you know what? If the coaching staff feels that he is going to make them better, then he will be in the lineup.
And it prevents him from going into 19-year-old postseason hockey mode, which after a season of junior turns into it's absolutely, I mean, I don't know what the kid's like, but I mean, it's welcome home.
Well, yeah.
Don't enroll back in school for about 2 weeks because you're busy getting, you know, caught up unpacking. Speaking of unpacking, Kyle Dubas is not unpacking. He's packing.
But yeah, man.
That's confusing. It's a confusing one. His press conference, really, I don't know if that kind of screwed him over, but
well,
what a shit show in Toronto, man. What a shit show.
Well, did you read the article? There's certain parts of this too, right? There's obviously, you know, Kyle Dubas was told that he would not be coming back as GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That same day, Jason Spezza resigns from the front office. So he's probably not very happy because I think he is a supporter of Kyle Dubas and what he has done. And can you say that, are you a supporter of Kyle Dubas, or do you like the direction of getting something different in Toronto?
I was not a supporter of Kyle Dubas whatsoever until this year, until last offseason when he went and got guys like Kampf, Yarncrook. You know, he brought in the pieces at the deadline, some physical pieces at the deadline. You know, I liked the Samsonov move. I loved the Samsonov move.
Yep.
But then someone pointed
and
out.
And for that matter, the Murray move.
The Murray move was fine, too. I understood the Murray move. But there are a lot of other bad moves that he made, too, when people were, when you start to lie.
What are they?
Yeah.
Like, I think to myself, every single year.
For somebody, you traded away, you let Mason Marchment go. You let some of these other, you let some young players go.
He did. I think he traded a first rounder for Foligno.
That was the other one. That was.
Is that it? But when we were looking at that, I know it's a tall task. You know, Foligno at the time was really desired. The way that he plays, he's the captain of I think Columbus Blue Jackets, where he was playing at the time, right? And he was kind of exactly what Toronto needed. He was like the Ryan O'Reilly type player. He was gritty. He's going to be a great playoff performer in how he plays the game. Did you not love that trade?
I supported that trade. If you're going for a Stanley Cup, and Pittsburgh did it for years, I think they traded a first round pick for fucking David Perron from Edmonton 1 year to try to get you're expecting that pick to be 31, 30, 29, 28 anyway, who may never play in the league. And if you can get a player like Nick Foligno to come in and fill the role in the void that your team needs to help you get to the finals. It wasn't Nick Foligno's fault that the team didn't get to the finals or get past the first round. I would have made that move. I would make that move 10 times out of 10 because look at Nick Foligno in Boston.
Yeah.
Well, and they go out in the first round in Florida, but you get my point. I would have made that move.
Again, this goes back to Dubas, though, Petey. Are you like, I think Kyle Dubas has done everything in his power to make this team the most competitive team to try and win a championship.
I think he
has the
Marner,
star studded.
I think the overpaid Marner, right wingers weren't making fuck $11 million. Maybe Panarin's were, but he was nowhere near Panarin at that point. And I think Austin Matthews' deal was way too risky.
To do the 5-year deal is what you're saying.
To take him to free agency.
Yeah, it was a stupid move. I think that they feel that they were going to win in those 5 years. That's why they did it. There's a 5-year window.
How could you not think you were going to win? But it's still risky.
Yeah.
So
and I go back to Mitch Marner. I just want to go back to Mitch Marner for 1 second. When he signed this deal, Petey had 69 points. The next year, he had 94 points. Then he had 67 in 59 games. Then he had 67 in 55 games. Then he had 97 points last year.
Leon Draisaitl was making $8.5 million at the time.
He had 97 points last year. And this year, he had 99. Like, Mitch Marner is worth $11 million.
Yeah, he is. He is, but you didn't have to sign him to $11 million at the fucking time.
You're right. Well, look at Braden Point. Look at how he plays the game. He is very much like a Mitch Marner, but even more physical, right? Puts up 90-plus points a year, scores 40-plus goals a year, right? And he signed for 9.5 in Tampa Bay. And now Tampa Bay has, you know, a million and a half to work with on someone else to make their team better. And that's where Toronto, I just think that they paid these guys elite money and cash strapped them. And I don't think COVID helped them because it stopped the rise of the salary cap, which I don't think Kyle Dubas expected.
I think being a numbers guy, he's banking on the cap going up $5 million every year.
That's right.
So he's thinking, and cap will be up 15, 20 million when Matthews deals up.
Yeah. So for me to say that Mitch Marner is overpaid You know, he had 99 points this year, 30 goals. The year before that, he had 35 goals, 97 points. Like, I mean, this kid in his contract has produced to the level of what he's being paid.
I think so. I think so. I guess, yes, I have become a Dubas supporter and less of a Keith supporter. The Jason Spezza news was obviously their hand in hand there in terms of, you know, what they're thinking and maybe yeah. where they're going. Because let's be honest, Kyle Dubas having Jason Spezza on his side is a good. I have a ton of respect for Jason Spezza. I mean, as a player, I always found him to be a classy guy. I thought he was a fierce competitor. So I have a lot of respect for Jason Spezza. I've watched him and played against him since he was 14 when he was an exceptional status in the OHL. So, mm-hmm. you know, his character is it's right there. I think he has president of hockey operations type character to him. I really believe
yes.
that.
So did you read the article or listen to Brendan Shanahan's media?
I read some of the quotes.
And what it came down to is they were negotiating. They were negotiating a contract. Like the night or the night
they were in there making plans for the next season roster and everything.
That's right. And there was discussions about a contract. They had told Kyle Dubas that they wanted him back. Kyle Dubas had told them that he wanted to come back. I think they had some number issues, a little bit of number issues for contract wise, but that's irrelevant, right?
But then didn't Kyle Dubas things went say, sour. I don't know if I want to come back or something along those lines in his press conference the next day?
His press conference became very, it was kind of like not eyebrow raising, but he was very emotional. Okay. At point, it looked like he was going to come to tears. What he was talking about giving his time, about his family, and about discussing that with them and all this kind of stuff. If you wanted to be the Toronto Maple Leaf GM and continue this road and pushing for a championship, you wouldn't be having an end of year press conference like that, because he's very emotional. I think in a couple weeks from now, when he has time to gather himself and get away from things, I think he's going to realize that he made a mistake. I really do. But Brendan Shanahan has to make decisions for the entire organization. He did not like what he heard in his press conference, in Kyle Dubas's press conference. And that's where things completely changed. And he was told that he would not be coming back as the GM. That day, Jason Spezza resigns. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes, nor do I really care. The question is, who's going to be the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the situation that they're at?
They got some big decisions to make. I think there have been some speculation of names. I think Jim Benning's name has been tossed around. Mike Fiuta. I'm sure you'll hear some other.
Is it Mike McPhee that was with Washington? George McPhee. Sorry, Mike McPhee, Montreal Canadiens. There's obviously Trelevin from Calgary.
Trelevin, yeah.
Trelevin is I was told is
who knows how to pull off a monster deal. I mean,
yes, he does.
You know, he
they need a veteran guy, is what they're talking about.
He just traded a Hart Trophy nominee.
Yeah,
you know, out of Calgary, so he might have to do.
And I don't blame him. I don't sit there and look at it and say like you completely got hosed on that deal because
he didn't. What I'm saying is he knows how to execute get a deal done.
That's right.
And he might have to do that with Matthews or Marner or Nylander, and that's going to be the same caliber trade.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking a 1-for-4, if not a bigger hockey trade coming for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Whatever happens, it's something big is going to happen with the roster. And does Sheldon Keefe come back? Is he automatically returning if the new GM comes. I wouldn't bring him back personally.
Yeah.
I have no beef with Sheldon Keefe whatsoever. None. I just don't feel like he is the voice to stand in front of that team and motivate them to go and play. I think you need an experienced, established, winning coach. We're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're not talking about a guy that came from Sault Ste. Marie.
But who comes to mind?
Toronto Marlies to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like,
who comes
when
to
I
mind,
think of
Andrew?
Toronto Maple Leafs, I think of Mecca. I think of big name. I think of like Mike Babcock was the perfect hire for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Perfect hire. You know? Sorry it didn't work out there, but a name like that. So it's who's the guy that was in Nashville all those years?
Barry Trotz?
Barry Trotz.
He's now the president.
Not Trotz.
Or no, sorry, GM. Sorry.
Not Trotz.
Barry Trotz.
Not Trotz.
Laviolette.
Was he in Nashville?
Yes. And then he went to Carolina.
That's the
Washington.
Kind of guy. That's the kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you,
he's got some jam to him.
Joel Quenneville.
Yeah. He's got to be reinstated. Has to have a little sit down with Gary.
If the Chicago Blackhawks are awarded the first overall pick and Connor Bedard and Joel Quenneville does not get reinstated, that is the true definition of double standard if I've ever seen such a thing. So Joel Quenneville will be reinstated, and when he is, he's going to have his pick of the litter. It's going to be New York or Toronto.
I don't know if he'll be reinstated. I hate to say it, but when you know something is going on and you basically just push it and sweep it under the rug because you've got a job to do to win a Stanley Cup, there's something much, much bigger, okay? There's something much bigger than winning a trophy. That's all I'm going to say on that. So I don't know what's going to happen with Joel Quenneville. If he's available, I'm going to tell you, he's going to be right at the front of the list for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they're going to need an experienced GM, and they're going to need an experienced coach if they want to try and continue to drive this ship. All I know is Toronto Maple Leafs right now, they have some headaches. They have some headaches. They have a lot of players. Like Noel Acciari is unrestricted. Austin Reese is unrestricted. Bunting, unrestricted. Kempf is unrestricted. Kerfoot, unrestricted. O'Reilly, unrestricted. Simmons, Gustafson, Hull, Shen. These are all unrestricted. That is almost, that's 2, 4, 6, 7, 10. And then you have Samsonov, who's 26 years old. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent after next year. You have to sign him to a contract. Well, what are you going to pay him if he's your number one? You have to be up around $5 million for what he's done. So they are in a bad situation. They really are in a bad situation because you still have to worry about Austin Matthews the year after. You have to worry about William Nylander the year after. I mean, Toronto Maple Leafs right now, oh my God. They're in such a very, very difficult situation because they don't have the money. And Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs went for it. Okay. They don't have any draft picks. They have Boston Bruins first round draft pick because they traded away. So they traded away their own, but they have Boston's, which is what, number 32? They don't have a second, third, fourth, or seventh in this year's draft. They don't have a second. And then in 2025, they don't have a first, second, or a fourth. I mean, where are you going to at the deadline when you have to make your team better to try and give yourself a push? They've already traded away all their picks. Like, this is, Toronto's in a real tough situation right now. Really, really tough situation.
It's kind of exciting to sit back and watch to see this team now have to find a new general manager. I did not see this coming, especially after they made it out of the first round. I did not see this coming, but I think we all know that there's some kind of roster change coming in Toronto. So
well, some things work and some things don't, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like here in Buffalo, we had, a Jack Eichel and a Sam Reinhardt and an Erasmus Ristolainen. At one time, we had Ryan O'Reilly. We had some Evander Kane. These players are all doing great things. Okay. But it didn't work here in Buffalo because there wasn't the gel. There wasn't the right players. Just like here in Toronto, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander. And I would throw Morgan Riley in there. That is the ultimate core. And now that core has not been able to get it done. They're very, very good in the regular season. Very good. One of the top teams in the league. But at what point they did everything that they could to get by the first round or to win a Stanley Cup. And now they've depleted their prospect pool. They've depleted all of their draft picks. And now you have a team that hopefully or should have won a Stanley Cup by now. And they are in cap hell. Like, I mean, hell. So I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be very interesting to see what Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Nylander, Tavares, what this team's going to do, because
I wonder if any of them were Dubas supporters and now maybe have a change of heart. I mean, Kyle Dubas was, closer to their age than a lot of these GMs are to their players. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think Dubas had a pretty good grasp of this generation of player. Yeah. I really think he did. I think he's, I don't know. I wonder if players there are going to be pissed off that he's not coming back. I bet you there are players there that absolutely love Spezza. He played there. He was their teammate a year ago.
Yeah.
So, listen.
But this is good sometimes. You know this. Sometimes a real negative can be a positive. It's a shakeup. My only concern is half of the forward line is unrestricted. Half of the forward line, listen to these ages. 34, 32, 28, 28, 27, 28, and 31. Toronto Maple Leafs are not a young team. They're a very old team. On defense, 33, 31, 31, 39, 24, 24, 29, 32, 29. This is not a young hockey team. So the question is, does this team have the ability to win a championship? Do they have the right defense? I'd look at it and say, no, I don't think they have the right defense. Do they have the goaltending to win? I don't know. Ilya Samsonov played very well, but I don't look at him as elite. When you look at the forward line, do they have enough? Well, they have scores in Matthews, Tavares, Marner, and Nylander, but those guys have proven that they cannot win in the playoffs. And then you have the other half of the Leafs lineup is unrestricted, meaning those guys want to get paid. They want to get paid. Tough times in Leafland right now. Real tough times, because I don't think that they have a large prospect pool to pick from.
Quick playoff thought. Too early to write the two teams that are down 2-0 off, or what?
Most definitely. Most definitely. The biggest thing at this time of year, I've never been to a third round of the playoffs. I've been to the second round of the playoffs multiple times. I know after losing in the second round how mentally and physically beat up I was. Very exhausted. Such a long season. And the emotional side of the playoffs is just, it's like playing a full season in 16 games. But I believe that Carolina and I believe that Dallas are two elite teams and deserve to be in this situation. Dallas was the number two team in the West, and Carolina was the number two team in the East. They're down 2-0. Doesn't mean anything. Just means that it's a longer road for them. Both teams have veteran leadership. They have the goal scoring. They have everything that they need to come back in this series. But game three, wow, man. Game three is a changer of the entire series. If one of those teams goes down 3-0, it's going to be really, really, really difficult to win four straight. I will tell you this. I think Vegas is a very good team, but I think Dallas easily could come back in this series and win. Florida, on the other hand, as much as Matt Tkachuk has single-handedly and Sergei Bobrovsky have single-handedly put Florida on the map, they worry me. They worry me because you have to understand, like, they are riding the wave, and the wave's taken them a long way, but eventually that wave is going to get smaller and smaller. Okay. And I just think that you have to remember Florida Panthers were a team that had 91 points this year. 91. They weren't 110. They didn't score. They didn't have 50 plus wins. This is a team that barely got into the playoffs, but they're riding a goaltender and they're riding an unbelievably emotional player in Matthew Tkachuk, and it's taken them a long way. But do not count out Carolina. So okay. It's going to be awesome to watch. These games from this moment on are going to be amazing to watch.
It's going to be a complete steel-toe boot to the pecker to watch Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel play in the Stanley Cup Finals. And not for me, just for Sabre fans.
Why?
They suffered for years. We had both these fucking guys on our team.
I know that.
But anyway, but I don't
does that
get into
not
this
go?
Week.
No, I want to get. No, I just give
I
me
don't.
1 second.
It's going to be a steel toe boot right underneath the stones.
And you know what? All those people that are super pissed off.
No one's pissed. No one's pissed. I never said pissed.
There's a lot of people that are pissed off. I talked to people yesterday about Jack Eichel possibly going to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they were beside themselves.
I talked
they were
to an
sick
employee
to their stomach.
From the Sabres. They are.
I'm
fucking
gonna tell you right now.
There are the employees at the Sabres are
at what point
they are.
Do you have to stop looking at Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart as the failures and look at the fucking organization that were absolutely terrible?
I'm talking about like
in
the
their building
the sales,
of the Jack Eichel,
the
Sam Reinhart
the
era.
Administration, the ticket people, you know, not the hockey department. Talking about everybody else around there. It's crazy, man.
I hope they both get there, man. Because that means one of them is going to win the Stanley Cup. And good on them, because Sam Reinhart is a big, big, big reason. And Jack Eichel, monster reason why Vegas and Florida are in this situation.
I am with
they
you.
Are elite players.
I'm with you. That's a wrap on another episode of After the Whistle. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, After the Whistle, and at Craig Reve 52, at The Instigator 76. You can find us, as you already know, on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and anywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to spread the word.